Welcome back to The Download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, my next guest is a Chicago-based singer, songwriter, and poet who just put out her new album, Heaven, on Closed Session Records. Jamila Woods broke out with the social experiment song, Sunday Candy, where she sang the hook. Let's take a listen.
You gotta move it slowly, taking in my body like it's holy. I've been waiting for you for the whole week. I've been praying for you, you're my Sunday candy. You gotta
move slowly. That was then. This is Heaven.
My great-great-great-great-great-great-grandma. And your great-great-great-great-great-grandpapa. Didn't need a ring or a broom. Didn't need a pastor or a bloom. Nothing old, nothing new. Nothing borrowed, nothing blue. The dancing in the deepest ocean. See, not even death could stop them.
Jamila Woods is not only a young, great young musician in town, but she also serves as the artistic director for Young Chicago Authors, the group that puts on Louder Than a Bomb, the great poetry festival here in town. She was here during Louder Than a Bomb this spring, and she promised that she would come back, and she has fulfilled her promise. Jamila Woods, good to see you. Thanks for coming back.
Good to see you, too. Yeah, thanks for having me.
This was a long-awaited album. People are excited about this. It's something we've been talking about. How does it feel to have Heaven finished and to be getting great reviews?
It feels really good to have it finally be out. It was definitely a long process figuring it out. It was my first solo record, so it was a lot of meeting new people, working with new artists, and it feels really good to finally be able to share something with people that's, you know, my music.
Was that part of the mission, to bring in different artists, to bring in new artists? Because you've had a great track record of working with, and some show up, Chance shows up on the record, other people show up that you've collaborated with before, mm-hmm. but was it part of the mission to bring new artists into the fold?
It definitely was, just because I'm not a producer. So in my band, before I had all of that kind of in-house, and so now I had to kind of find new producers to work with, and Closed Sessions was a big part of that, working with Odd Couple, who's mm-hmm. also on that label too.
What was the process like for you? I mean, did you lean on the guys at Closed Session to come up with those people, or was it more like, I've always wanted to work with this person, let's get this person in?
It was really just organic. I met with the guys at Closed Sessions, and they're like, we'll kind of just have you meet Zach, Odd Couple, and see if you guys vibe. And I think I wrote like one whole song, like just in one sitting at the first time that I met him, just off hearing his beats. So that was kind of just immediately, I knew that it was going to be a good fit.
I mean, you become, I could be wrong on this, but the first singer-songwriter part of Closed Session, I mean, it's a hip-hop label. There are some producers involved. How do you feel about being part of that mix, that collaborative mix, where it's mostly MCs and hip-hop artists?
Yeah, it's mostly MCs. I'm the first singer-songwriter, first woman, first black woman, so it's a lot of firsts. And I think it's definitely hard, especially being a person who I'm used to writing songs in my laptop in my bedroom, so it's definitely forced me to kind of get out of my comfort zone. And, you know, it's always a good thing as an artist, I think, to be pushed in that way. So I think I've grown a lot over this past year.
That's how you made music before, was essentially just writing the songs by yourself in solitude, wherever you can find space to do so?
Yeah, in solitude or in my band, we always had our own studio where we would kind of also just
work it out, yeah.
Kind of just in our own comfort space. And so it's good to always, in this record, I think I recorded in two different studios, mixing in at the Closed Session Soundscape studio. So it was definitely a lot of first things for me too.
Well, let's talk about the music, because, you know, I've known you, you came in for Louder Than a Bomb, and we've known you in Chicago as a poet, and mm-hmm. you've been a part of Young Chicago Authors as the artistic director for a while now. Do you consider yourself a singer-songwriter first or a poet first, or is that a lame question?
I would say there's no stupid question, so that's totally fine. I think that I think of myself as a poet and singer, and I can't really put one above the other. I think they both influence each other. I think my lyrics are definitely better because I'm a poet, and I think my poetry is better because of my musical background. And so I think a lot about the content of what I'm saying, the rhythm of what I'm saying at all times. Yeah, I was just telling some students today, like, a lot of times when you're trying to get into the arts, you might feel like you have to pick one thing and mm-hmm. focus on one thing. And I thought that for a really long time, but I found now that I can kind of find a balance between the two, and that I'm just stronger because I do multiple things.
Your poetry background helps in sending a message or having message to the music. I mean, mm-hmm. there's a lot of great message in this music. Everything from talking about, and I paraphrase on the line, but there's the stuff that's really about the protest of now and issues that are happening today, whether it be police brutality or just violence in general. Mm-hmm. But there's also, what I really liked is balanced with this great tone about loving yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And it does feel like it goes from track to track, that you're able to really be eloquent and articulate, ranging on different topics.
Yeah, thank you. I think that part of that comes from my understanding of self-love as a political act, especially as people of color, as women, as Black women. I think there's a lot of ways where we're not taught to love ourselves. And if you're, especially in this moment, there are so many things wrong with, you know, things going on in our city, things going on in our world, that we need to be strong enough to face them. And the only way to do that is through self-care and self-love. And I think another thing that comes from being a poet is finding creative ways to say things that, mm-hmm. you know, maybe have already been said. And so sampling is a big part of that.
Absolutely. I was going to ask you about that. I mean, there's everything from the Paula Cole kind of, mm-hmm. but you're sampling in a way that's really untraditional, unique, where you're using the lyrics in your songs as opposed to sampling the music part of it. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's something that is fresh.
Thank you. Yeah, I think it's a lot. I mean, because I love the idea of sampling, but I didn't have the actual skills, you know, to use like a DAW program to actually sample things. So I use what I have, which is my voice. And I think that it's something I do a lot in my poetry, is trying to find a form, a creative form. So you could find a form as like a, you know, radio show host spiel. That's a form. I could write a poem in that form. And then there's like the hand clap game, Miss Mary Mack.
Yes, of course.
I use mm-hmm. that to write about, you know, themes of Black Lives Matter and police brutality. And so a lot of times you can find a really interesting thing happens when you choose, you know, a form like a children's game and then talk about something that's actually about violence and very serious, you know.
Well, it's I forgot what I was reading. It was maybe Spin's review of the album, but you know, they kind of reference Vic Mensa's tracks. I think it was 16 Shots, talking mm-hmm. about the idea of the way that he approached some of the issues that are happening that he's passionate about. And he was very angry in that song, as opposed to the approach that you took, which was, like you said, almost told through the playground chant and done in a way that was a little bit softer, but the message remained the same.
Yeah, and I think that there's also a lot of ways that anger can sound and a lot of ways it can be channeled. And I just think about, like, Negro spirituals and how those were ways that slaves would seem to be singing about God and religion and the things that, you know, their masters told them they should be thinking about. But actually they were like, okay, this is how we get free. This is how we move from this place to this place. This is what we're going to do. And so I like things like that too, where it's like layers to it. Like, you could actually listen to, you know, the lyrics of Heaven, for example, or not listen to the lyrics, listen to the song, and not hear, you know, what the lyrics are actually talking about in terms of history and all of the kind of coded messages in there. So I like to have those breadcrumbs for people to listen on multiple listens.
The new album is called Heaven. It's a great record, and you should check it out. Jamila Woods is my guest tonight. She's also the artistic director at Young Chicago Authors. We'll continue the conversation. We'll take a quick break here. More with Jamila when we come back. Stay with us.
See, she's telepathic. Call it black girl magic. Yeah, she's scared the government. Deja vu.
Welcome back to The Download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. My guest in studio, Jamila Woods, a great singer-songwriter, poet here in Chicago. She's got a new album out called Heaven. She is the artistic director at Young Chicago Authors, and you can hear her on a lot of tracks, everything from Chance and Social Experiment to Macklemore and Lewis, The White Privilege 2. And you really are getting a lot of buzz for being able to be a singer-songwriter and have that sort of soulful approach to music with a message. I mean, that really seems to be what people are resonating, or at least attracted to.
Yeah, I think so. I hope so.
You grew up in Chicago. You grew up in Beverly.
Yes, farm, south side, Beverly.
Talk about that. Talk about that. Because, I mean, working for Young Chicago Authors and being an artistic director, being a part of the Louder Than a Bomb, I mean, it's truly, you are getting a chance to really be a part of the town that you grew up in.
Yeah, I think growing up in Beverly definitely shaped me as a young person. It's really far, and I went to school in the city, so that right there was like a good hour and a half on the train every day. And I think Beverly is a odd part of the South Side where it's like historically Irish immigrant neighborhood in the middle of mostly Black South Side. So I would go to church and be, you know, it's all Black people, you know, and then be in my own neighborhood, and we're like one of the only Black families on the block. So I think that kind of influenced me in terms of feeling like an outsider in some ways in my own neighborhood. And similarly, throughout high school, I always found myself more like observing things. And I think that lends itself to being a writer and kind of like reporting on things that I saw. And that was part of how I got into Young Chicago Authors and writing and poetry, is because I didn't feel like I fit in anywhere exactly. And when I found that sort of artistic community, it was the open mic that we run every Tuesday night still. And I found that space, and that was kind of the first place where I felt like I could really use my voice in a way that was being listened to, in a way that was being heard. And that kind of just changed my whole trajectory.
You know, we just had Donnie Trumpet on. He was on maybe a couple weeks ago, and he collaborates with you on this record as well. But he talked about living in Rogers Park and going to, I think it was Whitney Young is where he went to school. But the idea that he would make that trek every day, and the idea that seeing the different neighborhoods or having to go through different neighborhoods and different experiences helped him understand Chicago and be a better artist because he understands where people are coming from. You talk about your experience similarly because you did have to go far to go to school.
Yes, and you start to see even sometimes riding the Red Line or riding the Metro, just, yeah, the ways that different neighborhoods look. And Chicago is a very segregated city, and I would observe that, you know, from the lunch tables in my high school to being on that train, and then being in spaces like YCA and U Media and other spaces and seeing those strange moments where you look around the room and you're like, wow, there are people from the South Side, the West Side, the East Side, you know, like there's kind of like a little East Side, you know, like, and so I just found people of all different who would never have met each other if it weren't for those spaces. And so I think that's why I continue to work there, and I continue to really hold those spaces as really valuable.
Take us to a an open mic on a Tuesday night at Young Chicago Authors. I mean, because we've heard so much about it, there really does develop a lore almost because of all of the artists, yourself included, that have come out of this scene. I mean, it's pretty amazing. And we have different people who've come into this studio who've talked about that's where they met people who they collaborate with. So take us to a Tuesday night. What's it usually like? I mean, even in your time when you were coming up before you were artistic director, what was happening on Tuesday night at the Young Chicago Authors?
Okay, first of all, it's on the second floor, so you have to go up this like rickety wooden staircase, kind of like tags, even though we tell people not to write on the walls, they do, and you come in, and it's packed. It's probably, if it's summertime, you can kind of maybe see the fog on the windows. There's usually like 100-plus people there at capacity, and it's just a little kind of like wooden black box-type stage, and there's anything from MCs, singers singing a cappella. We don't use a microphone. And that should just right there tell you that something special is happening, because there's 100-plus people in this long, you know, kind of big room. And when someone is performing, you can hear a pin drop. And that was really cool to me as a young person, seeing, you know, a bunch of people from like 14 to 25, all silent, you know, listening to each other's art.
Can you remember the first time you got up on stage?
I do remember. And I did a poem. It was a poem about Miles Davis, because I just got like really inspired by Miles Davis when I read his autobiography. And it was kind of like a love poem. And I was singing in it. I won't go do that right now.
Well, I mean, is it you just mentioned, I mean, the idea of the foggy windows and 100 people, it's sort of being at capacity, a black box where everybody's staring, no microphone. Mm-hmm. It sounds a little intimidating. I mean, for someone who might be a young kid, you said 14 to 25, imagine 15 years old, 16 year old, just going in there and getting on a list to perform in front of people who eventually are Jamila Woods and Chance the Rapper and Saba and down the line.
It was really intimidating, but I think there's something shifted even in the middle of the poem, when you hear people like snapping, you know, at something you're saying, or you know, like there's all these like ways that it's not your typical, like, this is a theater, everyone, you know, it's like people are responding to you in the moment, and that makes you feel really held and really safe when you're performing, and not like you're just putting all your stuff out there to no one.
You know, open mics are across the city. I mean, they're very prevalent when you think of stand-up comedy. Mm-hmm. People go, but one of the things that people will criticize those is that it doesn't feel much like a community. Mm. It feels like somebody getting up on stage and sweating through some stuff that they didn't do so well, and they got off and said, "Oh, I had to do that. I had to deal with bombing in front of an audience." But this sounds like it's a little bit more based on the idea of a community coming together to support the arts.
Definitely. And I think my favorite moments are when someone says, "It's my first time," and like their hand is shaking and the paper is rattling, and then they kind of forget in the middle and everyone's like, "You got it." Like everyone's yelling from the audience, like wanting them to do well. And I think that's kind of like a secret that I like to remind people who are nervous, is like, no one wants to be in the audience and like see someone struggling. Like that makes everyone feel uncomfortable. So everyone wants you to succeed, you know, so you don't have to be afraid.
Jamila, you've worked with a lot of members of Chicago's hip hop community that are coming up, from Save Money Crew and all the way, you know, all the people who are now, you know, charting, and your record's about to do the same. You know, for you to think about the success that's happening here in Chicago, what do you think it is that puts these artists, the artists like yourself here in Chicago, above others in the country, where it just seems like the Chicago product coming out is so strong?
That's a good question. I think part of it comes from the presence of these types of communities. I don't know. Wherever I go, I always feel like the culture of listening in Chicago is like a little bit stronger, which I think makes you as an artist have to work a little bit harder. And there's also this phrase that is just like, Chicago is for haters, that I really like, because it's like, no one's gonna just be like, "Oh my gosh, you're so good," like if you're not actually that good. Like there's, people are supportive of you, you know, like in those spaces. But like when it comes down to like, you know,
making
like
a career out of it.
Yeah, making a career out of it. You really have to kind of be on your grind and not just get by, you know, with like something that sounds good, but, you know, what are you saying? So I think there's that. And I think there's also the way that when someone is doing something like kind of creating their own model, like the way that Chance has, or the way that, you know, Vic is also doing something that's a different sort of path, I think that just gives people coming up infinite possibilities. Like, whoa, like there's no one way that success looks like. And so I can figure out what it looks like for me, and there's really no ceiling on it, which I think is cool.
Jamila Woods is the woman behind the new album Heaven. She's also the artistic director at Young Chicago Authors, which puts on Louder Than a Bomb. Let's take a break for the news. We'll come back. We'll continue our conversation with Jamila Woods. Stay with us.
I'm an alien from inner space.
Welcome back to The Download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. My guest in studio at the big table tonight, Jamila Woods. Her new album is out, Heaven. It just came out this month. And also, she's the artistic director at the Young Chicago Authors, Louder Than a Bomb, which is just, it's unbelievable how much success and how much of this, the poetry festival slash tournament has exploded in Chicago. I mean, you've been around it, you know it. I mean, this past year, you're talking about judges like Chuck D and, you know, like huge events at the auditorium theaters. I mean, it's something that's gone from the idea of being, let's celebrate young poets in Chicago, to this, I mean, just juggernaut.
Yeah, I think it's been a really cool thing to be a part of it as a young person, and also recognizing the history of it. Like Louder Than a Bomb was founded by Kevin Colville and some other educators in 2001 as a way to kind of counteract what was happening in terms of the stories being told about young people, and the way that there was some ordinance in the city that said that, you know, young people couldn't gather in groups of more than two. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Chicago's already very segregated. So I think that, you know, it's just been really cool to watch it grow and see, like, you know, Kevin naming it after a Chuck D lyric, and now Chuck D is like, how can I get these poets on my radio show? Like, you know, like he's really all about it. And so I'm excited to see how it can grow for the next 16 years because we just had our 16th.
What I really like about it is it does give voice to young Chicagoans. I mean, that's mm-hmm. young Chicago authors. But and you've been a big part of that. I mean, from being one of the young Chicago authors that have come mm-hmm. up to being the artistic director now, it does seem like there is a lot of artistic talent and kids who are looking to be able to talk about their experiences, and there just wasn't a place for it. Talk about that at Young Chicago Authors, about the kids coming in and being able to share their stories and being able to tell their stories that before no one was listening to.
Yeah, I think what happens when you have spaces like Young Chicago Authors that are really youth-centered spaces is it just provides a new model for what education can look like. And all of a sudden, like, students who maybe aren't engaged in school or didn't even consider themselves artists, like, start thinking about themselves in different ways. Because I don't know if, like, people who are in charge of CPS or people who, you know, have positions of power realize, like, how instrumental it is for students to know that they are already experts of so many things.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's really what we say a lot is, like, you know, you're already an expert of, you know, Washington Park where you come from or Inglewood where you come from. Like, you know more about it than anyone could ever tell you. So write it down, you know, like, and tell a story about that. And that is a poem. You know, it's not something that's already in a book that you have to learn how to do. You already have all that language. So it's really inspiring to see what can happen. So I would definitely recommend people come out to Louder Than a Bomb.
Which usually happens in the spring, winter,
yeah,
spring.
February, March.
And it's interesting because we've had the conversations. I mean, Donnie mentioned it as well, just this concept of Gallery 37.
Mm-hmm.
And all the different people we've had on the program who at one point or another, not thrown out by me, just said, then I went to Gallery 37,
right,
I learned trumpet. Or then I went to Gallery 37, I learned something about music. Jeremiah was on the show and he talked about, then I went to Gallery 37,
oh,
and
wow,
that's where
that's
I learned
cool
how to do this. And you
I
recognize
Gallery 37 too.
But
that's how I found YCA.
See that, but that's, I mean, YCA almost becomes that when Gallery 37, now defunct,
mm-hmm,
now gone, and you just mentioned it, the idea that CPS may not even recognize the impact that,
yeah,
some of these things have, these arts programs have on kids in CPS and kids in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, talk about that. Talk about the impact it had on you specifically.
For me, yeah, I think it gave me a community to be a part of. And that's something, like I said, that I feel so not only indebted to, but just like I still get fed from it. Like today I was, you know, we do a summer camp at UIC, YCA does, from 10 to 5. And we've been there all week and I'm not tired. Like I feel re-energized by that work all the time. And I think those are like the people, young people are the people who inspire me and who keep me kind of, you know, I show them my songs sometimes first and I like teach them as prompts, as ways to be like, okay, is this landing in the way that I think it's landing? And I think it's invaluable to have that kind,
yeah,
of community.
As an educator yourself and an artist, when you are working with kids, you're working with young Chicago authors who come through, and whether it be through the day camp or whether it be at Young Chicago Authors, are you surprised when they come in with some of their life stories? I mean, and I guess the question is, does it give you a better understanding of the city we live in and what a new generation is having to deal with coming up in Chicago?
Yeah, I think it's really interesting to see both the ways that, you know, people with specific experiences from different neighborhoods and different family backgrounds, you know, all those different things. But it's also interesting to see like how people from, you know, the south suburbs and the north side like could have something very much in common. And I think that what we get to see when we work with different groups of students is just how empowering it is to always empowering to find out that you're not the only one experiencing something. So I think that's the most exciting part. And I don't even feel like I can take credit for that. Like we're facilitators and, you know, we're teaching artists, but they are the ones who are really doing a lot of the work. And I learned so much from them in addition to hopefully teaching them stuff too.
Okay. Enough about your day job. Let's get back to the music. Heaven is a new album, a debut solo album for you. Jamila, what did you learn from doing this record? You talked at the beginning of the interview about collaboration and getting out of your comfort zone and instead of just writing in solitude, working together. Is this sort of a rebirth for you? Do you feel like this is the new way you're going to produce music, to find ways to collaborate, to continue down this road where you try to get out of your comfort zone?
Definitely. Yeah, I feel like I want to learn so much more about the production process. And yeah, I want to learn Pro Tools. I have played instruments in the past, but I want to get more proficient at them. There's a lot about the whole process that I feel like is about language that I don't have yet. And that's a lot of what I learned through this album is like, okay, like, can you make this sound like more fluttery? And it's like, what does that mean? Like, you poet, saying these words. They don't mean anything. So I want to learn more about like how to manifest the sounds that I hear in my head. And that I think can come from learning about how to do every step of the process. Not so I can always do everything myself, but just so I can have that language and understanding.
Do you think, as a Chicagoan, as someone who grew up here, raised here, continues to work here and produce music here, that because of the nature of this town right now, being a very segregated town, a lot of angst, violence in some communities, police brutality, Laquan McDonald, does it give you kind of like a laser focus on what you can give to the country when it comes to your music?
That's a good question. My best friend, Fatih, who's also a poet, said the other day, like, as an artist, there's no way you can write one song or one poem that does justice to the audience that you're trying to reach, like that fully tells the story that you're trying to tell or fully, you know, addresses the issue that you want to address. And so I think that keeps, like, it gives you a sense of humility as an artist. And I think I'm always trying to tell the story of my family or, you know, the South Side or, you know, my experience as a Black person, as a Black woman, and, you know, my experience being a shy person, being a quiet person. Like, those things will always be a part of me. But I always think that there's like infinite poems that could be written about any one thing or infinite songs. So I'm excited. That's what keeps me like inspired and driven to the next thing.
You've had tremendous amount of success. I mean, obviously Sunday Candy got you on a huge stage. I mean, the track and the live performances made the crowds bigger, the stage is bigger. For you with this record, what are the expectations? I mean, are you going to tour off of this? Are you going to continue to, I mean, are you already starting to work on new stuff? What's next for Jamila Woods?
Yeah, I definitely would like to tour, hopefully, you know, with someone. I also want to make new music. I want to collaborate with more artists and also kind of experiment with other sounds, because I feel like there's no definitive one sound. And I have so many like different genres of music I'm interested in, and I want to have that show on whatever I do next.
Singer-songwriter and poet Jamila Woods, her solo record, her first solo album, Heaven, is out right now. You can find it on SoundCloud and other places. Jamila is also the artistic director at Young Chicago Authors. Can't thank you enough for coming in. Good to see you. And thanks for fulfilling the promise, because you did say you'd come back, and you came back. I
appreciate it. Keep my promises. Thank you.